David said in a prayer that he recorded in Psalm 144, "Let there be no complaining in our streets." And God makes it very plain that he hates complaining and murmuring in many places in his word, in both the Old Testament and the New. And I'll just read you a couple of them here. In John 6, Christ said, "Therefore answered and said unto them and to us, murmur not among yourselves." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, "Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." So if God hates complaining and murmuring, then what's the opposite of a complaining attitude? Wouldn't it be having a thankful attitude? Our Creator instructed us through Paul in all things to give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning your life. So how much would the word thankful describe your character? I want you to think about your life for a moment. Say over the past year, think about your circumstances. Is your reaction to give thanks in all of them? Even in trials, we can be thankful that God is with us through them. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 50. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 14. I'll read you this out of the New Living Translation. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 14. The psalmist said, "Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. And then," you notice this, "then call on me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." We sing the song, "God will see us through." And that means any trial and any hardship. Now notice verse 22. Here's a warning for us. "Now consider this, you that don't follow the instructions that we just read in verse 14, and forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver." So we see here the great Almighty Creator refuses to be taken for granted and ignored. And sometimes we all have to struggle to keep the greater picture in mind of Romans 8:28, which says, "We know that all things work together for good to those that love God," and that'd be us, "and are loved of God, to them who are called according to his higher purpose." So how thankful are you? When you think about it, do you suppose an unthankful or an ungrateful person would ever be in the family of God? For a true follower of Jesus Christ, having a thankful attitude is vital. Scripture makes that very plain. It's not a small matter to be thankful toward our Creator. This should be our approach in life. A true Christian should have a lifestyle of thankfulness. Now, the word thankful appears in God's Word 139 times in some form. David said to offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and he also said to give thanks to the Eternal. Do you do that? When we pray, what does God hear? Does he hear a lot of thank yous? Do you have a thankful heart? Now, a good question to ask ourselves is, are we really thankful? Or do we need to grow in that area, grow in true gratitude? Today, I want to home in on and examine some areas that will test our attitude of gratitude and show us if we really are indeed thankful. And that's the title of the sermon today. Do you truly have an attitude of gratitude? Do you truly have an attitude of gratitude? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul said, "And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he said, "giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now notice verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be you thankful." Now you see here Paul tied thankfulness together with peace. It gives you an inner peace. Being thankful gives you an inner peace. It pushes out worry, and it brings a spirit of contentment in your life. And that's another beautiful attitude of a thankful attitude, a benefit of a thankful attitude. We will be contented in life. And we'll be contented and happy with what God is doing with us and what is given to us, instead of always striving to get something else or be somewhere else. If we aren't careful, brethren, we can be at the least affected by a covetous attitude and maybe fail to be truly grateful for what we already have. And I read a little article, even the psychiatrists today are beginning to see the benefits of a thankful attitude. More and more of them are focusing on gratitude as being a key to emotional stability, emotional happiness. Proverbs 17 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, when we started the sermon, I read to you where David said, let there be no complaining in our streets. Well, the next verse, he added this. Happy is that people that in such a case, and in the case being where there's no complaining, yes, happy is that people whose God is the Lord and have learned to trust, obey, and be thankful toward him. David also said in Psalm 68, blessed be the Eternal, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Now I want to read you a little verse out of John from the English Standard Version. Kind of puts everything in perspective here. In John 3, it says, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to him from heaven. What that's saying is we owe God everything. All of our blessings come from God, past, present, and future. And it's good to thank him every day for his blessings. David said in Psalm 104, I'll sing unto the Eternal. As long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have being. And that's the principle that Paul spoke of in Ephesians 5, where he said, give thanks always for all things unto God. And Paul also added in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Now notice this admonition. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ concerning you, your life. Your life at this moment, this happiness or this trial is his will concerning your life. Now we know that Christ said that he would answer our prayers. He said those words. But other scripture adds some conditions. We must keep his commandments. We must ask in the name of Christ. And it must be according to his will. And then all things being equal, he will grant our requests, like our parents should do. Or you as parents, we as parents. That's what we should do to our children, to our kids' request. All things being equal, say yes. And then Christ set the supreme example of a right attitude when it comes to our prayers. When he was in the garden, when he accepted the Father's will, showing the greater test of faith and character is to accept God's will when he says no. Because all else is not equal. Now, I've seen a lot of prayer requests come through and it's saying God's will be done. But to me, a better request is, help us to accept God's will when it is done and his answer is against our wishes for our good. Christ said that God would answer our prayers, but if God delays his answer, then sometimes we might tend to doubt Christ's statement about prayer. And you know, one of Christ's own disciples did that. He doubted Christ. And we hear his name used a lot in common slang today, Doubting Thomas. Thomas said he wouldn't believe Christ was alive unless he could stick his hand into Christ's side. And soon after that, Christ appeared in the room where Thomas was and said, "Thomas, come here." Now imagine old Thomas swallowed real hard when he heard those words. Then Christ made a very profound statement, and it's a life-focusing statement for you and me. Let's turn there and absorb it together. John 20 and verse 24. John chapter 20 and verse 24. This is the account of Thomas. John chapter 20 and verse 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Christ came. And the other disciples said to Thomas, 'We've seen the Lord.' But Thomas said, 'Except I shall see his hands, the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, then I won't believe.'" And now let's just stop here just a moment and consider this typical response, human response. Now here's a man that walked with Christ for 3 years, and he saw the many miracles, from creating that fish and bread we heard about in the sermonette, fed thousands out of thin air, to seeing the blind receive their sight, and even after seeing several dead people raised to life again, he didn't believe. Thomas doubted. And how would you like for the only thing about your life to be remembered for 2,000 years was doubting Thomas? Now, verse 26 says, "And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them, and then came Christ, the doors still shut, and stood in the midst and said to them," now Christ knew what they needed right here at this time, "he said, 'Peace be unto you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither your hand, and thrust it into my side.'" Now notice this important statement, the rest of that verse, "and stop being faithless, and start believing. Thomas answered and said to him, 'Lord, my Lord, and my God.'" Now here's the profound statement that Christ made here in verse 29. "Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. But blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they believe.'" And he's talking to us in this room. Being human, sometimes life gets out of focus, and we forget the truth that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we of all people should be very thankful that the great God always hears and always considers the prayers of his children. Why wouldn't he? Like we do our children. And if all else is equal, he'll say yes. If it's not, if all else is not equal, then love your children like God loves us enough to say no. Now we should thank God often for the fact that even in his high and exalted position as the great potentate of the universe and worthy of all honor, respect, love, and obedience, that he loves each one of us enough to listen to our prayers. And he not only listens, but as the dictionary describes here, listen means to give one's attention to. The synonyms are hear, pay attention, be attentive, concentrate, an act of listening to something. Are you thankful for that? Do you have a thankful heart? Now, the dictionary also describes thankful as the following: pleased and relieved. The synonyms are grateful, filled with appreciation, filled with gratitude. Expressing gratitude and relief, and I love this last one, an earnest and thankful prayer. David said in Psalm 26 that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all his wonderful works. Are you truly a thankful person? Would your score be high if you took a thankful test? Now, David was a man that was acutely aware of God's blessings, and he was able to express deep gratitude toward God for them. Now I'm going to read you some verses from Psalms, and they show us that we do indeed have a lot to be thankful for every day the sun rises. Now you can just listen to them and maybe come to your own conclusion If you truly are a thankful person, or maybe you still have some room for growth. I'm sure we all do. Now, Psalm 106 says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Do you tell God often, thank you for his mercy? What about his patience with us? What hope would we have if he was not patient and merciful toward us? And we can certainly be grateful that God's mercy is never ending. David said in Psalm 30, sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, that's us, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. He said in Psalm 35, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among much people. Of course, we do that at the feast every year and here. Now, we are all thankful. I'm sure we're all thankful for our calling. And we're thankful that we serve such a kind and loving Father God. And we'll hear more about that in just a moment. But here are a few other areas that we should be grateful for. Number one, we should be thankful for the gift of life. David said in Psalm 6, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? Are you thankful to be alive and in God's church? Number two, are you thankful for the Sabbath day? David said in Psalm 92, a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to his name. Of course, we do that here every Sabbath. One of our songs was taken from that verse. Oh, give thanks and praise the eternal. Number three, Paul said, husbands, love your wives. Are you grateful for your spouse? And do you tell them that often? Number four, surely we all love and appreciate our children and grandchildren. I'm sure most of us pray for all of them, all of our children every day. But are you thankful for your friends and extended spiritual family? Now let's just carry that thought just a bit further. Okay, we do pray for our children, our family, because we do love and appreciate them. But when you think about it, they are an extension of self. Like my kids, my spouse, my bank account, my football team. Do you regularly pray for others outside the circle of self? I'm an Alabama fan, so I'm thankful for my football team. Now, Christ did say we'd be known by our love for the brethren. Number five, are you thankful for the little things in your life? What about that closet stuffed full of clothes? The pantry full of food? You know you're greatly blessed. You know our brothers and sisters in Africa would certainly be thankful for this problem. You know you're greatly blessed when you open your cabinet door and cans of food fall out. Or you have trouble closing your freezer door. Or you have to take stuff to Goodwill in order to shut your clothes closet. What about that delicious hot cup of coffee every morning? And for the taste buds that God created inside your mouth to enjoy it. The point being, brethren, are you aware of your daily blessings? David said in Psalm 140, surely the righteous, and that's us, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto your name. Surely the righteous shall give thanks, and here's the reason why. Being thankful is a way of life. It's a way of thinking for the righteous. Not perfect, but we are God's saints, God's children. We are referred to as righteous. Not perfect, still struggling to get there, but we're God's children. Now, there's a little chapter in Psalms that is a call to give thanks to our Maker. Let's turn there and read it together. Psalm 100. Psalm chapter 100. Now, this little chapter could be considered an outline for the way to live our lives. Also, the way to worship. And certainly, an outline for prayer. And the way to have a thankful heart. Verse number one. And this is the New Living Translation here. The heading says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Be joyful and happy. Are you glad and happy and thankful to be here? Is it a joy for you to serve God? Are you enjoying it or just enduring it? And we should be happy and thankful that we serve such a kind and loving God, Father God, that's chosen to direct His great power toward us in love. Someday all the earth will be glad and praise Him. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. And we are here in God's presence now, at this moment. And it's an honor to be able to come into His presence every Sabbath as an act of worship and obedience. David said in another place, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's good to think of the great privilege of being a part of God's family and able to worship Him in spirit and truth. The Psalms are full of praises and honor to God. And as we come into the very presence of God on His Sabbaths, we do sing praises to it. And that's what the songs in our hymnal were designed and selected to do, was to reflect praise and honor toward God and away from self. It's good to think about and reflect on the words as we sing them. The fact that we're singing them to and in the presence of our Maker. Verse number 3. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. Acknowledge His position of authority. He made us. We're His. We're His people. Sheep of His pasture. So here we're encouraged by the writer to think, ponder, and meditate on the fact that God is in charge. He's the final authority. He takes precedence over all our ways and even our thoughts. He's the creator. We're the created ones. He owns us. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, if you think about it, Satan lost sight of that fact, that he was a created being. And he became unthankful toward his creator. And he became filled with a covetous attitude. Wanted to take God's place. And that's the very opposite of a thankful one. In Revelation, we see the 24 elders bowing down before their creator. They were grateful and thankful for their existence, unlike Satan, who lost his love and appreciation for his creator. It's good to think on the fact that we owe him everything. We need and depend on him entirely for everything in life, every day. And brethren, then that will help us to remain thankful toward our creator for making us. David said in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes into the hills, from which comes my help. My help comes from the Eternal, which made the heaven and the earth. And you've heard this before, but it's always good to bear in mind, without God, or without us, God is still God. But without God, we're nothing. And that statement puts everything in perspective. In fact, this little verse 3 puts the whole universe in perspective. God's in charge. He's the boss. And aren't we thankful that He is and not Satan and not us? We live by His rules. He tells us what to do and when to do it. Now, if we just remember God's position of authority over our lives and keep in focus that He's the creator, we're the created ones, you know, we could avoid a lot of pain and suffering that we bring on ourselves. Life's hard enough anyway. But sometimes we act just like little children who don't always obey their parents, the ones that created them. And we can be thankful that our kind and loving God Father is patient and merciful to us, just like we should be to our children. Hosea said, for Israel has forgotten his maker and come under a curse, and that's exactly what happened to Satan. And it's exactly what's happening to our beloved nation. God is withdrawing his blessings. Verse 4, here's a call to express our gratitude for his blessings. David said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give him thanks and praise his name. And as we've said before, certainly one way to do that, enter his gates and courts, is through prayer. In Psalm 116, the psalmist says, I will offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I'll call upon the name of the Eternal. And our prayers should be filled with thanksgiving, gratitude, and praise toward God. Now, just like Paul instructed us in Philippians, let your requests be made known to God, and with thankfulness approach his throne. Paul's an Old Testament scholar, and perhaps he took his inspiration for that verse in Philippians from these verses right here that we're reading. Paul also said in Hebrews 13, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And certainly we should get in the habit of blessing and praising God's name in prayer and tell him often, thank you for sharing his name with us and making his making us a part of his family. That's what that third commandment's all about. Don't take his name in vain. It's such a privilege to have it, to be a member of the God family. Psalm 79 says, we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praises to all generations. Now, we won't turn there, but the first chapter of the book of Psalms, the first verse, David says, blessed is the man that delights in God's laws and meditates and thinks about them day and night. David loved God's laws, and he was thankful that they were a blessing to him, his life, that guided his life and was a light to his path. And please note this thought. Those laws showed David how to live his life in order to extract and receive the full blessings that the Creator has built into that law. They are a reward. Those blessings are a reward to all who keep them. Now, I just quoted to you from Psalm 1. David also said there, the man that keeps his law will be like trees planted by the river and will bring forth fruit in season. Now, I've got some trees planted by the on the banks of the Tallapoosa River. And they do remain green and fruitful, beautiful, even in times like this, times of drought. Just like we will always bring forth spiritual fruit, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, if we obey and keep his laws. Because we're being watered by God's Holy Spirit flowing into us. Now verse 5 here says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And we should be so very grateful for the fact that God is so very good to us. And if you think about it, in fact, he's the only good thing about us. And aren't we thankful for his loving mercy that he extends to us? And we can certainly be thankful for this verse here that says his truth has endured to our generation. Thankful that God has kept it alive. Kept us alive in the truth, and the truth alive in us. And that we have the priceless privilege of worshiping him in truth and spirit, and we have a part in keeping the truth alive and giving it as a warning witness to a dying world. It's good to focus and think about the fact that Christ is coming and Satan is leaving. And then the whole world will be given peace, peace at last. No more war, suffering, and wasted lives. And we should be very thankful to have a part in making that happen. Now we notice here in verse 5 that truth and mercy are used together, as they are also used together in many other scriptures. Proverbs tells us that by truth and mercy, sin is purged. David was acutely aware of his stark need for God's mercy and forgiveness. Psalm 130 says that if God should mark iniquities, then who could stand? And the older I get, the more I know that's true. We of all people should be so very thankful that we serve a merciful, patient, and loving God, like Paul said in Romans 4, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. David said that all the righteous does will prosper. Now, in a moment, we're going to look at some of those blessings that David was talking about that our Maker gives to his sheep. But first, let's have a tiny little bitty mental break, and we regain your attention here. I saw a couple of one-liners about this season, time of the year. Now, they are not side-splitters, just somewhat humorous. Okay, why can't you take a turkey to church? Because they use foul language. Okay, they get worse from here. If the pilgrims were alive today, what would they be most famous for? Their age. Last Thanksgiving, I shot my own turkey. It was fun. That shot going blam. But then everybody at the supermarket just kept staring at me. All right, one more and we'll be out of our misery. A small business owner was dismayed when a brand new corporate chain, much like his own, opened up next door and erected a huge sign, which read, Best Black Friday Deals. He was horrified even more when another competitor opened up on the right and announced his arrival with an even larger sign, reading, Lowest Black Friday Specials. Lowest Black Friday Prices. Then the small business owner panicked until he got this bright idea. He put up the biggest sign of all over his little shop, and it said, Main Entrance. Okay, back to work. Now, if you think about it, the different names and titles that God has taken to himself show us how he relates to us and how he blesses us. Now, let's cover Psalm 103, and then we'll be through. Psalm 103, turn there with me. Sometimes we approach Scripture like a fast food restaurant in order to get in our daily dose of reading to soothe our conscience. We may tend to speed read and skip over chunks of Scriptures, like chewing our food too fast and swallowing it in chunks instead of slow deliberation and absorbing God's bread of life that enhances the quality of our life. Now, this is a great little chapter to ponder and meditate on. We've covered some of this before, but it's always good review. Verse 1, Psalm 103. David says, Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his name. David said in Psalm 145, I will extol thee, O my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. And then David added this, Every day I live, I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. David praised God with all his innermost being, and he poured himself into his worship of his great God, the same God that we're here in the presence of and praising and worshiping today. Verse 2, Let all that I am praise the Eternal. May I never forget the good things that he does for me. Remember and think about, the psalmist is saying, or be acutely aware of the great benefits of being one of God's children. In Psalm 119, he said, At midnight I will rise to give you thanks and to your name because of your righteous judgments. So when you can't sleep at night, count your blessings and then tell God thank you for all of them. Express your gratitude to the kind Heavenly Father often for making you his child. And brethren, that will reinforce in your mind the fact that you are indeed a child of the God family. And more is expected. You might not want to hear this, But more is expected of you than is expected of the people around you that are still in the world. That's good to think about. God expects more of us when we deal and have dealings with those out in the world. We have to remember that. Verse 3, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. We see here that he is the great forgiver and giver that gave Christ for us so that we could receive forgiveness and be healed both spiritually and physically. And here we see one of God's names. He's our healer. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit or death and crowns you with love and compassion. Here's another name revealed. He is our redeemer and our protector. I'd hate to face this crazy world we live in without God's protection. And the older I get, the more I pray for it. For us and my family and you. David said God loves us with compassion and mercy. And he's also our comforter. Another name for God. In John, Christ said that the Father would give us the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And never forget and always be thankful for the fact that he does indeed comfort us. And what a blessing that is, especially in times of heavy trial. Verse 5, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? David is acknowledging many of God's names here. God reveals himself through his names. God is certainly our provider and our sustainer. God not only created us and the vast universe, but he sustains us. Verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and judgment for all the oppressed, and certainly this world oppresses all of us. Verse 7, he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel, and certainly us. God has to open our eyes and reveal the truth to us of who he is and what he's doing and what he expects of us through his plan. And what a privilege to be a part of the better resurrection. And we should thank him often that for whatever reason that he did choose us to work with. Verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. Now, this verse draws our attention to the fact that we do indeed serve a loving, kind, and merciful God. And aren't we thankful for that? Verse 9, he will not always chide, and thankfully, he won't keep his anger forever. Now, the word chide used here means to scold, voice disapproval, speak out in anger, or displeased, rebuked. And thankfully, God doesn't hold grudges against us. But he does correct us through love for our own good. Verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And all you could say, or I could say, is thankfully so. David said in Psalm 143, Lord, enter not into judgment with your servant, for in your sight shall no man living be justified. Now notice verse 12 concerning our sins, and we can surely be thankful for this one. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west from us. Look at verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Speaking of fear, notice verse 13. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. You know, Paul did also said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. David said in Psalm 119 that my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. He was afraid of God's correction. Proverbs says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's kind of like child rearing when you think about it. You cannot love your child into obeying you. They learn to obey you out of fear of correction. And hopefully ours is loving correction, like our kind Heavenly Father is toward us. And we can certainly be thankful that we don't get what we deserve. Now, when I was a child, I should have been thankful for that. I wasn't always. I thought maybe I got a little bit more than I deserved. Verse 14. And here's the one that we can truly all be thankful for. For he knows how weak we are. God remembers we're just made out of dirt. And it's good to remember Genesis 2. And remember that we consist of dirt. And we need and depend on God for everything. But also, God is reminded by his own word, right here, of our beginning. That we're weak. We don't have the spiritual makeup to live perfect lives. And that he's still in the process. He reminds himself, he's still in the process of perfecting our character as we live. And thankfully, once he started the work in us, he will finish it. Verse 15, the older I get, the more I realize this one is true. Our days on the earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. Too soon old and too late smart. The wind blows and we're gone, as though we'd never been here. You know, brethren, life is short at best. And certainly we're temporary, as the Feast of Tabernacles reminds us of that, pictures that, that we are in temporary bodies. And without God's mercy, we'd turn back to dirt forever. Now, Moses wrote only one chapter in the book of Psalms, and he addresses that. In fact, it's the oldest chapter of the book of Psalms, chapter 90. Moses wrote that around 1440 B.C. And here's what Moses had to say. The days of our years are 70 or 80 years, and that's not far away from some of us. We're soon cut off. And then Moses added, so God teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom, and we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And Paul, again, I think, used a takeoff of that scripture in the New Testament. Verse 17, but the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation, this is a beautiful truth. His salvation extends to the children's children. What a beautiful truth revealed here to us. And it continues in verse 18. For those who are faithful to his covenant, for those who obey his commandments. Verse 18 is a good reason to keep God's commandments and to teach your children to do that. To keep the blessings flowing to our precious children and grandchildren. Verse 19, the Lord made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules everything. Now here David reveals again that God's the final authority of the whole universe. And aren't we thankful that he is? Verse 20, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones, carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Eternal, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Eternal. Everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom, let all that I am praise the Eternal. And David ends this chapter right here just like he started it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and be thankful for all his benefits. Brethren, God is so good to his people that obey him. And he extends to us tons of mercy that will never depart from any of us as long as we don't depart from him. And that's my personal goal in life, that with God's help, to stay in God's grace, favor, mercy, church, and remain forever grateful to him.